This is the Preparedness Radio Network, preparing you for natural and man-made disasters, helpful tips on gardening and homesteading. Be prepared and remember, preparedness saves lives. This is the Preparedness Radio Network.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disaster situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just a conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
BHM Radio is on the air on the Preparedness Radio Network. BHM Radio is the official show for Backwoods Home Magazine, expanding the stories you love in print live across the net. And now, your hosts for BHM Radio, Colorado Ron and Bubba Da Vinci.
Hey, 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 you're live with Backwoods Home Magazine, Self-Reliance Exposed. This is Bubba Da Vinci, and as always, I am with my good friend and colleague, Colorado Ron. How you doing, Colorado?
Good, good. How are you?
Let me tell you, it's already been a hectic morning, and you know this. Yeah, we've been off air for 2 weeks, you know, both Colorado Ron and I. We're basically half dead after the last Self-Reliance Expo at Colorado Springs. I mean, it was a great show, heavy duty. And we also broadcasted for almost four hours at the show.
Oh,
and then after that, we both decided that we needed to take a break. and so you did some running around, and I did a bunch of catch up and everything else. And then here we are for our first show back in 2 weeks, and it seems like the whole world was against us.
Yeah, it did seem like that for a second. But, it's funny. Technology is a beautiful thing. We can pull something together like this and do it and change things at the last minute, and it looks just fine. It works out just fine. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just so everybody kind of, I mean, literally, at 5 o'clock this morning, I get an official email that our original guest, Jackie Clay, realized that her grandson had a graduation, and so it was like, oh, I can't be on the show, so I text Colorado and say, Emergency! You know, it's like we got to find another guest, and he managed to pull that off, and I brought one in also, and then 5 minutes before the show launches, we get another emergency, this is not a drill, from our producer. And Blog Talk Radio was acting up, and they were basically, we couldn't get into Blog Talk Radio. So, yeah. I'm telling you, it's a test of wills, Colorado. It's a test of wills.
Bubba calls me on my cell, like 2 minutes before the show goes on. He goes, I think we're going to have to cancel. I was like, oh, no, what? We just posted a link. We just did all this stuff. Yeah, I think we're going to have to cancel. Oh, no, Blog Talk's on again. Never mind. So it's just like a influx of emotions. It's just crazy.
Yeah, well, so let's let everybody know who's going to be on today, and then we can do a little catch-up for the audience.
Okay.
So today, on the first, about 20 after, we'll go to commercial break like we typically do, and then when we come back, we will be on live with Frank Young. Frank Young is a partner in Red Shed Media Group, and as when he came in on the partnership, one of the things I like to call Frank a serial entrepreneur. He's my partner in another company also, but you know, he does animation festivals, he's working on digital comic books, he works on kid science events. I mean, this guy's got his hand in everything, hotels, you know, dishwashing units, who knows? I mean, you never know what this guy's doing. But
forgot about kitchen sink.
Okay, well, Frank, here's Frank. Additionally, you know, but what the big thing for the Self-Reliance Expo is, you know, Frank is from Singapore, which is a very small country, and we'll get into that with him. But, you know, he living in Southeast Asia or Asia, you know, there's so many things that have gone on over there for the last 3 years. I mean, those of you guys that remember the major earthquake that caused the tsunami that hit Indonesia, and then there was the big tsunami that hit Japan with an earthquake. And so the Asian community is really waking up to self-reliance. And so he'll be talking to us about his future plans with the Self-Reliance Expo and everything else. And then why don't you introduce Jared a little bit?
Yeah. So, and then the second half of the show, we'll have Jared Winger on, and he's with doTERRA Essential Oils. And he's actually the one that introduced me to oils and kind of got me using them, and so I thought, what better person to have on as Jared, because he's so knowledgeable on it, and he also does a lot of the presentations at our expo on essential oil, so we're happy to have him call in at the last minute there, so I appreciate that, Jared.
Right, and I'm going to go ahead and give a shout-out to Jared right now, for this, because unfortunately I have to run Frank and his family to the airport halfway through the show, and so I won't be on with Jared, but Jared, the Douglases, Ron, and especially his wife, Heather. Miss you, Heather. Hope you're doing okay. Heather, at the last show, was talking to my wife about the doTERRA product. And ever since the show, we got our product in this last week, Ron, and that thing's been running pretty much nonstop. It is awesome stuff. I'll be the first one to admit, and you and Jared can talk about this later.
Yep.
I would have said, if somebody told me about essential oils, I would have said that it was almost like voodoo. You know, it's like
yep.
it's kind of kinky. It's reminiscent of like a hippie culture sort of thing. You know, that's what someone that's right wing and spends a lot and grew up late 60s, early 70s. That's what you think about essential oils. But now, I did my show last night, and I was on with Doc Bones and Nurse Amy, and in their medical book they talk about essential oils. The term essential oils and the information is almost in every magazine, every book, about how it's a great way to do things naturally now. And so I fully admit that I'm once again an idiot and didn't know I'm behind the curve. I'm glad that I learned to be, get into the curve. So thank you, Heather. Oh, let me tell you, I'm sleeping so much better with this stuff.
Oh, man.
This stuff is rock.
Which one are you using?
I don't know which one. My wife's putting it inside the little machine. We were getting one, and Heather convinced us to get another one. Is it camphor? I don't know. I know I was originally, I think we were getting lavender, and Heather talked us into getting something else that
Serenity,
she said
probably.
She thought worked better. Yes.
Yep. Serenity.
That's what it is.
Yes. Yep.
Serenity.
Yeah, that's Serenity. Oh yeah, it'll sleep like a baby, man.
Yeah. Rock on. This stuff. I haven't. You know, Frank and his family's been here for about 5 days, and we get up. I'm up every morning at my typical 4:30, and then we're out hunting, fishing, you know, doing whatever all day long in 90 degree heat, and I'm getting to bed at 11, and man, I'm out, and when I wake up, I still feel like I got a full night's sleep.
Nice.
Yeah.
No, it's good stuff, man. I use it. You know, well, you know, every time I travel, I have that little kit with me that I take with me, and I just love how useful they are. They come in handy. So I get allergies when I fly different parts of the country, and so I usually use those, and it helps out a lot. So, but we've gotten a lot of emails. I don't know if you have, but we've gotten a ton of emails on our upcoming expo in Dallas. And so I wanted to make sure that we announced a little bit about that because
good. I didn't get a lot of emails, but I turned, we had turned off our sales phone. We had two new salespeople come on, and I turned it off the sales phone, when we left the last show, and I turned it on the other day to limit to Frank, and I had 423 missed calls / messages on it.
Oops.
And it's okay. That's why I called you. And Jen over the last 2 days has slowly been trying to call them all back and letting them know that they call the number now. It's going to the sales team, and we apologize and everything else. But, yeah, a lot of interest in this show. A lot of interest.
We got a guy on online. Did you see this in the chat room? He said that rim oil is essential. Rim, it's an oil.
What's rim?
Gun oil. Gun oil.
Yeah. There you go.
I love it. Yeah,
so,
I agree.
All right. So why don't you get some of the catch up information on the Dallas event?
Oh yes, Dallas. We have just want to fill everybody in. We've got a Self Reliance Expo coming up in Dallas, July 27th and 28th, at the Arlington Convention Center, which it basically is a breezeway walk. From Glenn Beck's Restoring Love event that they're having in Dallas. They'll be at they're doing the registration right across the breezeway, and then across the street at the Dallas, at the Cowboy Stadium. They'll be doing their event, and we're doing our Self-Reliance Expo there as well, kind of around their stuff that they've got going on their schedule. So we'll be there Friday and Saturday, as usual. We're not open on Sundays, so I don't know why I'm getting a ton of emails on that. We close down on Saturday night. So if you can make it, get there on Saturday or Friday. But anyway, so that's the information on that. We've got we're still working on our speaker lineup. A lot of people are asking about that. So it takes us a while to get everything coordinated, when people can talk and what days. So that speaking schedule will come out a little bit later.
Yeah, I mean, just to kind of give everybody an estimate, we have a new website coming up. What's your timeline, do you think, for that, Ron?
It's looking like Monday or Tuesday. So.
Okay. Yeah, so we'll have a new website coming up, and I'm actually in Dallas. Colorado Ron and I, again, are both traveling. I'm already trying to figure out where we're going to go eat, because I'll be away from my wife, and I'll be able to do the our typical road tour sort of eating thing.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, we're in Atlanta. This is new territory this week. So we have a shareholders meeting to go to. But on top of that, we're going to Day of the Blade show to kind of check things out. And the goal will be to, from my side, to have the speakers list up by the 18th. So if the website comes up that week, we'll hopefully have the majority of the speakers list, a couple days after that. So I know everybody's excited about this. This is a big show for us too, guys. So we want to make sure we have all the information and we have it right. So
perfect. Perfect. It takes a little bit, like you said, to get everything done. And I've got people asking me, about Mesa, and to me that's like a whole world away right now, because we get so focused on the upcoming events and everything we have to do to get. It's a lot more work than I ever thought it was to get ready for an expo. So as soon as we're done with this one, then we'll start concentrating on North Carolina, and then we'll start concentrating on Mesa, Arizona. But it's great. It's bittersweet. I love the fact that people are emailing us and asking us more, for more information. That shows that we're growing and more people are interested. And so that's awesome to see that our audience is just growing and growing. So we're really excited about that. That part of it I love. So, and if you guys have any questions, feel free to email us, and we'll try to answer everybody as fast as we can. So.
Right. And one last thing on that is, if you do have questions about the other two shows, we're always willing to field them and everything else. It's just when you're doing a show this size, especially the anticipated walkthrough at this next event is 20,000 plus in 2 days. There's a lot to prepare for, and so we always try to put our best foot forward and concentrate on the event that's upcoming, and not shoot too far out of the box. So we appreciate everybody's patience. Although in the last 3 days we've sold booth space for all three events.
All three events, so. Yeah. So yeah, that's funny. We're getting it filled up, so it'll be fine. It'll be great. So
all right. Well, so let me ask you, Colorado. You've been doing a little bit of traveling, and I've been following you on Facebook, and I saw some very interesting things. Tell us a little bit about what you've been doing.
Oh my goodness!
Besides racing across the desert.
Oh, it's been a heck of a trip, man. We had to go to Oregon to go help Heather's grandparents out, and so we decided to make a quick family trip out of it. Since we don't get those very often anymore, it doesn't seem like. So we took off and we went to Salt Lake, and on our way across Nevada, or we were heading to Nevada, and I was telling the kids are always wanting to ask me old car stories and stuff like that. I used to race a lot of cars and stuff. And so it dawned on me that we're getting ready to pass the Salt Flats. So I was like, hey, none of my kids had ever been over 100 mile an hour. And I was like, well, this is silly. So we pulled into the Salt Flats there, and here we are with our Toyota Sequoia with a luggage rack on the roof with all of our stuff in it. And everybody is just cheering us on. There's, I don't know, probably a dozen people out there. And they're cheering us on, and we take off across the Salt Flats, go to 102 mile an hour with the kids. And, of course, they're just grinning ear to ear. And, it was a lot of fun to take kids down the Salt Flats. But anyway, so we did that. And we went out to see the Golden Gate Bridge in California. We went to Crater Lake and... Oh, let's see, what else did we do? Lake Tahoe. We stopped by Lake Tahoe on the way up. And these were all short. I mean, we didn't stay for days and days at any of this stuff. We just kind of hit them on the way and stayed there for, I don't know, an hour each or something. But we stopped at Lake Tahoe. Then we went and saw Golden Gate Bridge. Then we went up to Oregon and spent some time there with Heather's grandparents and helping them out. And then we took off and went and saw Crater Lake. And, it was a typical family trip, stopping every 20 minutes, let one of the kids go to the bathroom. It was pretty crazy. But on our way back, we start pulling in, and Colorado is getting tons and tons of tornadoes. And so, tons and tons, I guess it's surprising. They had like six in downtown Denver one day, and then they had five or six up north in Colorado the next day. And we just happened to be coming back, and the lightning is just going off like crazy on both sides of the freeway, and it's raining. And we look out through the lightning, and we see this funnel cloud coming down. It's kind of it's curving to the left and then hitting the ground. And all the kids start freaking out. There's this funnel cloud. There's a funnel cloud. And it was probably, I don't know, 20 miles away. You could see it way out there in the plains. And And they said, oh, this is cool. This is just like that movie Twister. I was like, this isn't like Twister. This is like Twister. I took off. And we exited the highway, and we headed straight for the funnel cloud. And we drove out there, of course. By the time we got out there, it was nearly gone. It was kind of working its way back up. It was really hard to tell because it was dark and lots of lightning and rain and hail and all that stuff. But nevertheless, it was pretty exciting for the kids. Wind was blowing like crazy, and it was pretty wild.
You realize, Colorado, that this is our third tornado experience. You and I went to Dallas. And we got the day that we landed there to go meet with the Glenn Beck people and to do a bunch of things and look at a venue. And we were in Dallas when all those tornadoes hit, and it was ripping apart. And you actually got stuck for like 4 days
because you couldn't
get on a plane. And then I came home, and like 5 days later, 6 days later, had a tornado come through our town, wrecked the hospital, wrecked the school. My brother-in-law, Deputy Dan, had his windows blown out, had to replace all the windows from there. Barn roofs had to be replaced. I got dents all over my truck. I mean, so we have that one. And here you are, you come home from a family trip, and you're running into tornadoes. What's the deal this year?
I don't know, man. They're all over the place. It's nuts. But,
I think someone's trying
to tell
us something.
Crazy. Maybe. It was fun though. I don't know about you, but chasing tornadoes was just fun, and it was a cool end to a family trip. The kids thought that, and they got a real kick out of it. Of course, you know, the only scary part is we got out there and we were getting closer, and when I mean closer, we're probably within 5 miles of this tornado, and the rain was just coming down, and we're zipping across the dirt roads out there because. The only thing out there is dirt roads. And so we're going out to the dirt roads, and so much rain had dropped. I didn't realize this. I thought, well, if the tornado starts coming my direction, I can just turn around and head back. Well, I was just slipping and sliding everywhere, and I had hardly any traction, and I had pretty good tires on the Sequoia, but, I had four-wheel drive, and we were just sliding all over the place and just kind of shifting from side to side on the road. And I was surprised. I mean, it was like driving on ice, how bad the roads were. And then I looked down, and there's tons of hail on the roads and all this stuff. And so, yeah, be careful when you're chasing tornadoes. You might not be able to drive as fast as you think. That's my only word of advice.
Well, I think for the rest of the year, I'll just try to avoid them. In general, that should be my policy. I think I'll do that. If there's tornado chasing to be done, I think I'll leave it to the Douglases this year.
All right. Fair enough.
So, besides that, a good portion of our group and everything else is out at Blade Show. Blade Show is in Atlanta, Georgia, every single year. And Doc Bones and Nurse Amy are over there speaking. Jeff Gleason, I believe, has his stuff set up. Adam Francis, Equipped to Endure, is over there doing interviews. And I believe he, just like Doc Bones and Nurse Amy, has a booth set up over there. So if you guys, anybody's out there in the Atlanta area and are going to be going to Blade Show, please make sure you stop by and see our three show hosts. I know that they're out there doing their best to make sure you guys get information. And then we head out there tomorrow, right?
Yep. We'll be there tomorrow. Right.
And then you're heading to the Carolinas after that.
I am. I'm going to zip up to North Carolina and do some follow-up work on our Hickory, North Carolina show. Check out some of the local hotels, check out the venue a little bit more, kind of meet with the venue managers and just kind of make sure we're all on the same page for that one.
Yeah, and then I'm heading to Dallas for 4 days to work on the event that's part of Restoring Love.
We are just traveling crazy, aren't we?
Yeah, not too many things, not enough time. And speaking of not enough time, let's go ahead and we're going to get ready. We're going to jump on our break here. And when we come back, we'll be live with Frank Young, and we'll be talking to him about essential oils. No, that's not Frank.
No.
although Frank is really, really, really prissy about his skin, so he might have a thing or two to say about essential oils, too. Yeah, so
before we go to break, I have one more thing I wanted to say.
What's up?
Yesterday was a sad day, so we need to take a moment of silence. I sold the Badlander yesterday, so the big black Suburban. I was sad to see that hit the road yesterday, but it's on its way to California. The guy flew in and drove it home yesterday, so I'm going to miss that truck.
Well, that's been bittersweet too, because you actually sold it like about a month ago. You were just waiting for the guy to come and pick it up and actually lay claim.
Yeah.
So that must have been hard.
It was a whole different feeling. You know, it was one thing to have it sold and just sitting here, and it was a whole other thing to have it sold and see it drive down the road.
Hey, you should post some pictures of it.
I should post some pictures. I'll do that. I'll post up some pictures of the Badlander. But yeah, it was. Okay. It was a big truck. I loved it. I miss it. But, oh, well. It's gone.
It was pretty badass. I mean, when you guys see the photographs of it, it was definitely meant to, you know, it was the ultimate get-out-of-Dodge vehicle.
It was the ultimate. So, anyway, I'll post some pictures of that on our Facebook page or something, and so people can see that. But if you want to build the ultimate, you know, bug-out vehicle, that was it. So... I'm just going to say, I'll post that up and a link to instructions on how I built it so you guys can follow that if you want.
Okay, so I actually do have one more thing I want to say also. So, yeah, I did my first show last night for Bubby's Bookshelf, and it went pretty well.
Oh, yeah.
And I wanted to do a follow-up. Where are you with yours? I want to read the manuscript.
Ah, yes. Actually, I was going to ask you some advice on that. I'm about 99% done with it. The problem is I'm a very dry person. I just go to the matter of fact. And so I'm debating on whether to go back and write in and add stuff to it and make it more of a book with a storyline, or is this just going to be an instruction manual? Because if it's just an instruction manual, then it's just brief. It's just to the point. You know, do this, do this, do this. You know, if you need to do this, it's step 1, 2, 3. Here they are. Boom, boom, boom. And just leave it like that. Or should I change it up to more of a storyline, kind of like some of the books that are out there now? And
like Patriots,
say,
which is like a guide. Yeah. Patriots is the guide and the story.
Exactly, exactly. So, but basically, all the bones are done. As far as, you know, all the structure is done and all the, you know, instructional information is in there. So I just need to figure out if I just leave it like that and just leave it as a good guide instructional document. Basically, it's, I don't know, it's 30 pages or so. Or do I turn it into a storyline and make it 200 pages? I don't know. So
we'll take a look at it when we're in Georgia.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right, so let's go ahead and go to break after a moment of silence.
You're listening to the Preparedness Radio Network. We'll be back after a word from our sponsor. Looking for power grid independence? The Humless Solar Kit is the answer. Increasing brownouts in the U.S. suggest it's time to get a backup. The problem is gas generators are messy, require maintenance, and gas, which may be scarce in a real emergency. Get the Humless Solar Kit by itself or with a 1,000-watt Humless Sentinel generator. The kit includes a 100-watt solar panel, 20-foot extension cord, LED floodlight, rechargeable flashlights, and more. Become a fan at Humless.com or on Facebook.
It's the 21st century, a dangerous world. Preppers need food and medicine. Why not have the best? Enterfood.com does the shopping, prep, and packaging for you using the best organic ingredients on the planet. Right now, specials are available for listeners of this station. The all-organic vegetarian food storage pail and the herbal medicine cabinet. The pail holds up to 120 flavorful meals, super packed fresh to last up to 15 years, soaked, cooked, or raw. The herbal medicine cabinet holds everything you'll need to cure common ailments. Use these items in an emergency or use them when camping. You can't beat these prices. Call to order now, 866-762-9238, 866-762-9238, or go to enerfood.com. That's E-N-E-R-F-O-O-D.com, enerfood.com.
Thanks for listening to a word from our sponsors. Now, back to the show on the Preparedness Radio Network.
Hello? Did we lose him?
You're live, gentlemen.
Yeah, I know. Hello, welcome back to Self-Reliance Exposed, back with Homer's radio show here on Blog Talk.
I'm back.
All right, you back?
I had some major internet lag. I could hear you, but I wasn't going on and I did the whole intro. I was so disappointed. I didn't stutter or anything
good.
This time.
I didn't even stutter.
Probably. All right. We're back to Back with Zone Magazine, Self-Reliance Exposed. And as you heard, that was Colorado Ron covering for the infamous and sometimes clumsy Bubba Da Vinci. and with us live, we have Frank Young. He is our business partner for Redshed Media Group. A little bit about Frank. He's from Singapore. And Singapore is a little country in Southeast Asia that's about the size of a postage stamp.
Yeah, almost. Right, yes. So, good morning, everybody. Hi. It's great to be on the show. And hi, Ron.
Hi, how are you?
Good, I'm good. Yeah, love the weather in Iowa, which you are here.
I wish I was, too. How long you been there in Iowa, Frank?
Well, it's coming to 5 days with my family on vacation. And, of course, you know, Scott, you always make full use of all resources. So I'm on the show now.
Yeah.
Can't have someone fly in from Singapore and not get him on the radio. I mean, come on.
Well, yeah.
Exactly.
Well, totally. So do you have are you a big cattle rancher in Iowa now?
Not yet, but getting there.
I figured it wouldn't take long.
Yeah. Well, the cool thing about Frank, and I appreciate it, Frank, like I said, Frank's one of our partners in Redshed Media Group. And one of the interesting things about, you know, everybody goes, well, he's, what do people in Southeast Asia or Asia know about self-reliance? And, you know, when we started getting into this, Frank was very interested because, as we said earlier, you know, there has been so many natural disasters and issues that have happened in Asia in general, including, you know, about 2 years ago, Frank and I were in Chengdu, China.
That's right.
And like 4 days after we left, the big earthquake hit Chengdu, and basically the entire city had crumbled, and there were people trapped under the rubble, and it was a major issue.
It was bad, yeah. So then, of course, not too long ago, the Japanese encountered this tsunami, which also resulted in them also having a nuclear plant issues. And most recently, in Indonesia, in Aceh, there's also another, on the Richter scale, I think 6.2 earthquake that comes with a kind of like a smaller tsunami. So there's just so many natural disasters that's now happening around in Asia. So, yeah, so basically, all these things put together really comes back to the key thing of everybody getting prepared, you see.
Wow. It's surprising because some of that stuff, well, a lot of it, we don't even hear about over here in the U.S. sometimes. Unless it's a big one, of course, like we heard about Japan and their tsunami and stuff. But, you know, there's a lot of times that it just kind of goes right under the radar and we don't even hear about a lot of the disasters that go on over there.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why when I get into the act with you guys, when I first find out and understand more about Reshare Media, I thought it was a really cool concept that you guys have put together all the best self-reliance and preparedness kind of property together, forming a kind of a platform that goes out to educate more than advocate. Yeah, that putting all this right information out to everybody, getting everybody to be more aware and always preparing themselves for the kind of crises or disasters that might happen. So I thought that was really cool. So and that really gets me into wanting to be part of the whole act or the bandwagon, they call it, join the bandwagon. Yeah. So because like I mentioned earlier, with this kind of backdrop in Asia that's happening, of course in Asia, like in Japan, in China, in Singapore, everybody has their own way of trying to do self preparedness and getting ready for disaster. But it's all in, if I put dribs and drabs, they're all not being cohesive put together, you see. So when Reshare Media was formed, I was excited and joined in, and now really looking at how to bring this whole education platform to the East. Yep.
Yeah, and go ahead. Yeah, the other interesting thing I think is, you know, Frank, you know, he comes from Singapore, and like I said, which I said a few minutes ago, and Singapore is a little bit smaller than the state of Delaware, so it's really small, and it has, what's the population?
5 million.
5 million people, and most people don't realize it's Singapore is a country and a city.
That's right.
So it's so small, it doesn't even have, like, other cities. It's just Singapore. Singapore.
Right. Makes it easier when you fill in the immigration form.
That's right. You just write Singapore one time. and they don't have a lot of natural resources. And it's only been a country for less than 50 years.
That's right. We are less than half a century old. We are independent in 65. Yeah. So we are 45 years and plus. Yeah.
Yeah, 45 years old as a country. And, you know, being a country with not a lot of – I mean, there's so little land and so much going on there. They're very similar, I was saying this last night, to like a New York, where, you know, most of the people live in high-rise buildings that are apartments. There are no farms or very few. Most of their food comes from external sources. There's no cattle, I mean, somebody might have some chickens or something if they have a little place, but – for the most part, 90% of the population gets their stuff from – it's imported from Malaysia, Indonesia, the surrounding areas.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. So for us in Singapore, we are like a trading hub, so everything is imported. So natural resources – the only resources that we always say that we have is people, which is, of course, in the bigger scheme of things, just still very little. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, Frank – you know, I admire him for this. You know, decided that he has a young boy and a young girl, Crystal and Wayne, who are 8 and 10.
That's right.
And they imagine very similar to a New York kids. They've never been in a rural environment. They've grown up in a tech-savvy, industrialized,
highly urbanized
area.
Yeah.
And, you know, with that, when he since Frank is getting ready to doing all this self-reliance and everything else, he goes, "We're coming on vacation. I'm going to bring my kids to the U.S." And he brought them out to Iowa.
I think I'm the only Singaporean family in Iowa, whole state of Iowa now.
I would say that's probably right. And like I said, you know, we always talk about making sure you're prepared and your family's prepared. So his wife and his kids and he have spent the last week here learning how to shoot guns,
fishing,
learning how to fish. We've gone and collected eggs from chickens. We've gone out and seen goats. We've seen how people make brooms by hand. We've done a little gardening. We've ridden some machinery. I mean, he's really getting the backwoods home, vacation package.
Absolutely. All right. Yeah, it has been a real blast for my family. And I asked my kids, what's the best part you like about the whole trip so far? He said it's the fishing. Yeah, he was so happy when we caught fish from the pond. Yeah, it was a great experience for them. Yeah.
Well, and his son did a good job.
I bet that's more land than they're used to. Sorry, I bet that's more a little, just driving through Iowa, you know, when we were out in your area, I mean, I bet that is more land than they probably have seen, just open land, you know, just raw, yeah, undeveloped land. I bet that's more land than they've ever even laid eyes on.
Yeah, but they are all beautiful, you know, the greeneries that goes acres and acres of land is all just beautiful.
Yeah. And they came at the right time of season this time because it's all green.
Nice, so, nice.
Yeah,
I'm just curious, Frank. I mean, somewhere in the size of Delaware with 5 million people, what do you guys even do with your trash?
We export them.
export it?
So we actually get into the recycling, clean tech kind of stuff. So all of those are also really being recycled and taken to the best that it can. Those that really can't take care of it, we pass it to the neighbors. That's a joke. Yeah. So yeah.
Wow.
Ship it to Indonesia.
That's a lot.
Yes.
No, but yeah, they are a very clean. I mean, you will not find a safer, cleaner environment than Singapore. I mean, I swear, it's probably the safest city/country in the world.
Yeah, so
that's why they arrested you, isn't it?
yes, folks, I was arrested in Singapore.
I'll bring a small little slingshot.
Yeah, but it was. They called it a catapult.
They called it a catapult. Yep.
So,
you know this country's safe when they arrested Bubba.
That's right. That's definitely true.
So on the topic of safe, I would just like to talk a little bit about the preparedness kind of things that Singapore does, and just to share with the audience, so that you know what happens also out in Asia. So like in Singapore, we have this concept, we call it the total defense, and that's broken up into five areas, which is military defense, civil defense, economic defense, social defense, and psychological defense. So just touching on like the definition that we go in for civil defense, basically how we define it means taking care of your family, friends, and people around you in times of crisis. It's important to know what to do during an emergency. And sometimes you may be the only person who can help. Sometimes you may be even able to help to save other people's life, you see. So that kind of thing goes around in Singapore. Although we are small, we always try to prepare ourselves for emergencies like stuff like this. And of course, having our own Asian neighbors like Japan, Indonesia, having all these natural disasters happening, it just gets us more self-aware that these are all important to prepare for the worst kind of scenario.
Now, and let me ask you this. You're not saying this is just something like where Colorado Ron and I and our group is trying to teach people to prepare because it's, as Ron likes to put it for himself, it's a mission, you know, to get other people prepared. In Singapore, it's the government and the people believe it's their civic duty to do this. So
yes.
We're talking an entire country of people,
right,
that are doing what you just said.
Yep. And basically that's a whole movement that actually goes from the government down to the people. And it's also done in a very educational way. Like, for example, they produce comics, which I'm involved on, that goes out and tells kids to absorb and learn this kind of knowledge. So, yeah.
And I'm gonna post the comic books that Frank's working with on Facebook right now, and I'll put the link up so people can see it.
Right. So, yeah. So that's just besides Singapore itself. Well, of course, in Japan, that's the same case too. And we all do know the recent disaster that they have experienced. So really learning more how to be prepared, having governments involved, that helps really to prepare everybody for worst case scenario kind of situation. You see. So in Asia, we are all very active, but of course, more about what you guys are doing in the U.S. Makes me even more excited because you guys are always, in Asia, we always see the U.S. people as very highly creative, how to put things together and working on stuff, you see. So I'm pretty sure when at the right time, when we're going to roll out this, what I would call an educational platform across Asia, that is really, really going to help a lot of people to prepare for worst-case scenarios.
So what go ahead, Ron.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. You're fine.
I was just going to say, you named several different categories in there. I mean, you know, when you're looking at them, is the you said something about civil economic, or I mean,
yep.
I'm sorry, civil and economic.
Yep.
So, I mean, preparedness for us, it's amazing that you guys have broken this up like this, because for us in the U.S., you know, like I said, for our goal in our company is to try to teach all these things. And it seems like it's just let me know if you agree with this, Ron. It's just been the past couple of years that it went from survivalism to prepping, and prepping has been finally broken down into categories. So there's prepping your food, there's prepping your economic situation, kind of like you were talking about what you were doing for your book, Ron. I find it amazing that here's a country who has done something very similar. I mean, they have military, civil, economic, social, and psychological. Those are kind of the same categories we have and we're promoting. It's just the terms are a little bit different. Would you agree with that, Ron?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So from your standpoint, I mean, what does your government try to promote for economic?
Well, financial freedom, stuff like that. But really more is like, for example, we know that economically, ones have to be really prepared in a situation that they, for example, lost a job, or they hit with a financial crisis themselves. So ways to also getting oneself prepared to see how he can make a living beyond just what he's doing, you see. So like training, retraining, learning, relearning, and continuous further education, that's a very important part of the economic defense that we call it too, you see. So that's how we look at economic defense, yeah.
Now, where do you see, I'm just curious, you know, you've talked about the expos and bringing those to Asia. Where do you see that tying in, say, you know, like for instance, Japan and their tsunami? Do you find that, you know, doing a self-reliance expo in Japan would be of interest to them?
Oh, absolutely. Nothing beats being able to come together, seeing the stuff, feeling the stuff, exchanging experience face to face, and also learning from the experts. So I always think that an expo is really a good platform beyond just what I always say, there's a virtual platform and there's a physical platform. You see. So the expo, I think, is a very integrated part of bringing all these stakeholders together. And really in the whole process, everybody really learn and getting themselves prepared to the next level, you see. So expo is a very important part of, in my opinion, this whole self-reliance movement, yeah.
And so it really surprises me that, you know, honestly, when we started doing the expos, I never thought about, you know, taking it, you know, them going global, and people interested in it in other countries. I didn't even think about it. And so it really surprises me when you say that, you know, people in Japan or wherever over there are interested in it. And, you know, when you talk, I know that some of those events over there that they do can be rather large as far as attendance goes. And so do you think that this message is something that would bring in a large audience, or is it just a few people that might be interested, or is it a majority of the people would be interested?
Well, that again, as we all know, Asia is pretty big, has a lot of different countries, and each country is at a different stage of development. So I'm pretty sure that if the show goes to Japan, it's going to be very, very highly well attended by, especially with the last recent disaster experience that it has. And again, there's even some of the talks, even some universities in Japan came out with analysis and reports that they're going to maybe face another major earthquake coming up in like about maybe in the next 3 to 4 years. So all this self-preparedness thing is really now running high. And in countries that sits on what you guys would call the fault lines, those are the places that where we definitely expect very good attendance in all these kind of, in the expos, you see. So of course in some other places which is less developed and not so advanced, maybe it's not going to have such kind of high attendance. But whatever it is, self reliance and preparedness is always have been around too in Asia. Just that they are done in a different format. In Singapore, it's already highly structured. Like Japan, that maybe in China, which is so big and so huge, some places a bit better, some places not so. The people that's in Sichuan province, the Chengdu city, which they had that big earthquake back then, they are more self-aware, but maybe not other part of China. It basically varies on where you talk about in Asia in terms of when the expo goes there, whether there be a lot of people that's interested or not. Yeah.
So, yeah. You've already got a plan in place. You're looking at beginning of next year to really try to push a program out.
Yes.
For Japan.
Basically, we are looking at that. And, of course, it's good to know that even some Japanese media have started covering the Rickshack Media's event in the U.S. And with just a simple coverage, we already have sparked a lot of interest from like I said, the different stakeholders from Japan wanting to find out more what's happening, how does the folks in the U.S., in the West, does self-preparedness. So that's why I'm saying that this whole education platform, the exchange of information, the learning from each other, and like some of the gadgets and stuff that you guys have developed for preparedness, in the East, they also have similar but done in a different way. So I think these are all great exchange platform, basically helping each other to prepare for the worst kind of scenarios. Yeah.
Now let's take a jump back to the comic books.
Yeah.
You know, you're in one of your other iterations of life. you know, you're doing in Singapore and in China. You're doing animation festivals, and you just got a decent government grant to start like a digital animation comic book
online comics. Yeah.
Now, you're working towards taking a lot of the information that we distribute at the Self-Reliance Expos and putting them in the comic book form.
Yeah. So basically, my other part of what my serial entrepreneurship does is getting into digital entertainment. And I'm also personally very passionate about education too. So besides doing entertainment, we basically came up with this term called edutainment, as in education plus entertainment. So now self-preparedness is, in my opinion, a very, very good and important information that we should try to promote and educate the young using a medium that they are all highly comfortable and that they enjoy a lot, putting it into animations and makes. That's part of the plan that I have when promoting this whole self-reliance concept in Asia. Yeah.
Well, I'm curious. I was looking at these comic books here, and I see the characters on there. Can you tell me a little bit more about the characters in these comic books?
Well, basically, these guys are... Yeah, basically these characters that's in the comics are really what we all create. And when we create them, they basically promote the message talking about all this self-preparedness. But really coming to understand more about Rickshack, I just thought that you guys would even have very interesting characters to make it even more interesting. Like, for example, our dear Baba, right? Yeah, he's the redneck and you too, Colorado. The both of you guys will make the perfect, if I don't want to use the word hillbillies and the rednecks, you see. And of course, you guys on your group of partners together, then you have the highly urbanized Dr. Bones and Nurse Amy. And of course, not forgetting Dr. Prepper. So when I look at the few of you guys, it looks like a sitcom to me sometimes. That can be very fun and entertaining. But beneath all those things, putting out the message about self-reliance. So that was like a kind of like as I come to interact and look at stuff like that, it's all coming together. So that's something that I might end up doing, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's kind of interesting. Can you imagine Colorado, us doing, you know, you see most of the books right now have, it has all the kids. They use kids teaching kids, but you always have these adult figures in the comics. And, yeah, so Frank's sitting here talking to us about, hey, since you guys are already doing all yourselves in comic form, we should go ahead and put you guys in the next round of comic books is kind of a fun feature. And I was just like, oh, my God, I'm going to have to make sure I get myself drawn up with a little bit less weight, because you're going to have all these little Asian kids going, oh, look at the funny fat guy with the, yeah, he's naked.
Yeah. Exactly. No, but that's the whole idea. Yeah, when I say about entertainment, that's what things should be done, you see, that is highly educational, but at the same time, highly entertaining, you see. Yeah.
Well, I'm just surprised that it says on the, like on the cover of this one here, Survival in a Cave, 8 million copies were sold in Korea. I mean, I'm just shocked that comic books are still so popular over there. It doesn't seem like they're that popular here in the U.S. Maybe they are. Maybe I'm just clueless on that, but I'm just shocked that 8 million copies, that's a lot of copies.
Yeah, well, it's kind of funny that you say that, because as far as in my part of the world, comics seems to be still a big thing in the West, in the U.S., you know. Yeah, I mean, with all the, well, of course, you guys are always focusing on genres that's like the superheroes and stuff like that. So in Asia, the comic genre, especially the Japanese, it goes in a different kind of topic that we use on. So what you just saw on that book, it's highly sold in around Asia, because in behind it is actually a lot of education message which that parents really love their kids to find out more and to read about, you see. So that's why it's popular in Asia, and we're pretty sure somewhere, somehow, we hope that we can get those things also to the West, and which is, I'm saying, you see, we are trying to promote the message of self-preparedness in a different way through different mediums, basically, yeah.
Well, and I think, I mean, Colorado, I mean, you've been doing this for a lot longer than I have. I find it amazing, and I think Frank's concept on this could really help us out, because every single event we do, it seems like the number of parents that bring their kids seem to double.
Oh, absolutely. Yep, I agree with that too.
And so
these comic books would be a great medium for them, and I totally can see that. I don't know, it's been a long time since I've even picked up a comic book, so I was just amazed, you know, I'm still baffled over this 8 million copies, that's a lot of copies.
Yeah, of course, it's over a period of time.
right, I'm sure, it's over a period of time, but it's just, that's a great medium. I mean, 8 million copies going out there, that's a great way to reach and get the message out there then.
Absolutely.
On the self-reliance front. So, yeah, I'm impressed with that. I'm excited to see where that can go.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hopefully, I mean, I don't know if we'll be able to get anything done by any of the shows this year. I mean, unfortunately, it takes a lot of time to develop characters, I'm sure.
Yep.
But I think the goal is for 2013, when we launch in Japan and everything else, to have a series out that we can distribute at all the events.
Yeah, using you guys, you know.
I don't know about using. my intellectual property might not be available. Colorado Ron can do it.
Oh, my goodness. It'll be hilarious.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah. Frank's got to get ready to go ahead and head out. We appreciate him sharing some of the things that he's doing here. We're going to go to commercial break, and then Colorado Ron and I will kind of catch up a little bit more before we have Jared on. So, yeah. Thank you very much, Frank, for coming in. And I've enjoyed having you here and your kids here, and hopefully they learn something.
Yeah, I really appreciate the time. Well, really on the air, personal thanks to Scott and Jen. Really took care of me and my family, gave us a great time, and hope to see you guys soon, Ron, and in person with my family too in future. Yeah?
Yes, I hope so. That'd be great.
Yeah. Okay, you guys have a good one, yeah?
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right, guys. We're going to go ahead and go to break. And when we come back, Colorado Ron and I will do a little bit more catching up from our 2 weeks off the air. And then we will have Jared Winger at 20 minutes after the hour to talk about the essential oils. So we'll see you in 2 minutes.
Thanks.
You're listening to the Preparedness Radio Network. We'll be back after a word from our sponsor.
I'm Dr. Prepper, and I'm here today to tell you about the Wonder Mill. Their patented grain mills create the most luxurious and quality flours from any hard grains or beans. They contract with the world's best-suited factories to manufacture the Wonder Mill to the highest specifications in the industry that they plan and design right up there in Pocatello, Idaho. They are the only American company with both electric and hand-operated models. I like them so much, I bought both, and you should too. I use the electric model for the finest flour, and I use the hand-operated model for making my grits and creamy wheat for breakfast, and I can have it fresh every day. With the Wonder Mill's lifetime warranty and the fact that these are simply the world's fastest, quietest, cleanest operating grain mills, it's no wonder that most preparedness and kitchen professionals prefer the Wonder Mill over all the other grain mills on the market. I love both mine. I know you'll love yours, too. Go to thewondermill.com. That's thewondermill.com. And Wonder Mill Grain Grinders. Get yours today. Tell them that Dr. Prepper sent you, will you?
Discover the taste of the sun. Thousands of preppers have acquired a sun oven to have on hand in the event of an emergency and have been pleasantly surprised by the improved taste of sun-cooked foods. Sun ovens are a preparedness item you can start using today. A sun oven will pay for itself by reducing your utility bills and by keeping your house cooler in the summer. Food can be baked, boiled, or steamed at temperatures of 360 to 400 degrees Fahrenheit with the power of the sun. Sun ovens are often confused with homemade solar cookers, but they get considerably hotter, cook food faster, and hold temperatures longer. Sun ovens fold up in seconds, carry like a suitcase, and have many innovative features which make them the ultimate solar appliance. For the past 25 years, sun ovens have been proudly made in the U.S. They are durable and have a long life and come with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. For a discount coupon, email preppers at sunoven.com. That's preppers at sunoven.com. Thanks for listening to a word from our sponsors. Now, back to the show on the Preparedness Radio Network.
Welcome back to Backwoods Home Magazine, Self-Reliance Exposed. This is Bubba Da Vinci with Colorado Ron. Hopefully you guys can hear me this time.
Yep.
All right, good to go. I was holding my breath there saying, I wonder if I'm going to do it twice in a row and not nobody be able to hear me.
Nope, you're good.
All right. So pretty cool stuff. I mean, we have been exceedingly blessed. Since we, got together, Ron, we started off with just a couple of events and we teamed up and started putting the group together. And in 5 months, we've been a company for 5 months we're coming up on six. And, we've increased our book sales. PRN is taking off like crazy. We've added that to the group. Our expos have gotten bigger. We're now doing an event, as a sponsor of Glenn Beck's Restoring Love, and we're now looking at doing an event in Japan next year, with Frank and his partners. He's working on a comic book. I mean, it's just amazing.
It is. It's crazy. And some of this stuff I never even foresaw, Japan I always thought was kind of cool, but I never saw it actually become, never could figure out how to make it a reality. And this is kind of cool with Frank and helping us out on that. That's going to be amazing. I have a question on that. I'm just curious. I mean, don't if these people are into self-reliance over there, do they have, would they have their own exhibitors there, or is it something that we'd have to bring exhibitors from the U.S. over there, or how does that work?
Well, I mean, well, there's multiple different. I mean, it's definitely a different business model. It's always very interesting because over let's we'll look at Singapore. Every time I do business in Singapore, I'm always shocked because it where in the United States, the government doesn't support us on any of this stuff. I mean, if Redshed Media Group, Self-Reliance Expo wasn't trying to educate, or individuals weren't trying to educate, it just wouldn't happen. And we rely a lot on the vendors to come in and purchase booths and everything else so we're able to do the events. Over in Singapore, the model would basically change, which is the government would help us put on the expo, and we would still, you know, they would find local companies that were probably buying their products already over here. And they would bring in international companies like Aquapale and things like that as part of the deal. And it's a combination, but you actually have government support on initially doing this stuff.
Wow.
And so, yeah. And we've done several events over there where the government says, you know, we'll support you, but we want you to offer, you let everybody in for free because we want these people to get educated. And that had never happened here.
No, it definitely wouldn't. That's amazing. So they really,
yeah,
the government really does support them over there, then.
Oh yeah, it's quite amazing to watch how they do it and everything else, and even more amazing to know that we're, you know, hopefully in the next year we'll be a part of that and helping educate to a whole new level.
Now, I have a question. Yeah, since you've been over there, you've been over there, and so one of the questions I've always had, and you know, I do not want to turn this into a political show, so we're not going to do that. But does their government run more efficient than our government over here?
Yeah. First of all, it's a socialized country, and you know, I'm not a firm believer or a big believer in socialism in any way, stretch, or form. And in my opinion, there's only two countries in the world that can pretty much pull it off, which is, you know, Sweden and Singapore. And they both have a common thread about them, which is the government. You know, both countries are small. I mean, postage stamps. Both countries are highly educated. You know, they really concentrate on making sure their people are educated because they're, you know, the best resources in both countries are the people. And because it's relatively small, their government's able to work, you know, very efficiently. I mean, Singapore is just amazing. They just did their elections. You know, there's so much clarity and as far as who's doing what and everything else. And when something happens, when you only have 5 million people and you're the size of a postage stamp, I mean, if you pass wind, everybody knows about it. So, you know, there's not a lot of things that are able to be hidden there. And so it works remarkably efficient. And so I really like that as kind of a launch point for us going into Japan and everything else, because I think we'll be able to do quite a bit.
Nice. That's really cool. I can't wait to go check out Singapore. One of these days I'm going to get over there.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, there's not much to see. You can pretty much cover the entire country in a couple of days. you can drive across it in, you know, 40 minutes. But
Do they have park stuff over there? Or is it like wall-to-wall concrete?
No. They if you look up Singapore and look up the Singapore Botanical Gardens, they've got some beautiful botanical gardens they've just opened up. I mean, it's wall-to-wall jungle. The actual Singapore is not that big. It's surrounded by a lot of, you know, a lot of tropical and everything else. But I mean, everything else is pretty much concrete in the middle.
Okay.
So.
Well,
but anyway,
with 5 million people, it would seem like it'd be wall-to-wall concrete. So that's cool that they incorporate all the other stuff.
Oh yeah, I mean, when you'll have a handful of concrete apartment buildings or skyscrapers inside there, and around it will be lush tropical garden. You know, it's pretty well done. And
nice.
You know, when you're a country like that, you also have to your transit, mass transit, has to be well done. You know, a lot of people do mass transit.
I can imagine it has to be pretty flush.
Yeah.
I imagine it has to work pretty fluid.
Yeah. So, you know, I think we're pretty lucky and I'm pretty excited about what our future looks like as a company and where we're going with Self-Reliance. So that's cool. So, yeah, I wanted to make sure we touch base with this before. Have you gotten – I just, believe it or not, literally just on Friday – got my copy of Backwoods Home Magazine. I'm so, you know, it took so long to get my July August issue. did you get yours?
I did. I got mine. Uh-huh.
So I mean, next week we're gonna have to start covering some of the topics, but and you know, always in the front page we got our Dallas event advertising in the front and everything else. And when I got it, I was super excited. Because out here on the property, and I wish I would have gotten this before Frank got here, we have there's an article in here about snapping turtles and about skinning and eating snapping turtles. And we get those in our pond, and there's really not much use for them. Your catfish and your bass and your fish. And
right.
So I am going to – I'm unfortunately going to be gone most of this week, but I'm going to commit – to going out there and catching a snapping turtle and taking photographs of following this thing and skinning and eating one of those damn things. Of course,
I'd love to see that.
And I know on, I think it's Discovery Channel on A&E, they've got the guy who's the master turtle catcher. I can't remember his name. Do you know what show I'm talking about?
No, I don't.
There's this guy. He actually did what you used to do. He catches, you know, he catches like varmints and things like that. And he's this guy with no teeth in his mouth. And he goes around. I want to say he's in Louisiana. He might not be in Louisiana, but maybe Kentucky. And you know, he goes around going, yeah, you know, doing this whole. He's got this little war call. And then he dives in and catches raccoons and you know snapping turtles. And it's the funniest damn thing. It's the first time Jen and I watched it, we're like, this is ridiculous. Now we're like addicted because the guy, it's just so ridiculously funny. But he basically dives underwater and grabs these massive snapping turtles by their tails. And,
oh,
you know, Liz comes out of the water with these snapping turtles. And people call them when they get out of control.
That's nuts. No,
not for me. It's not swamp people. It's not swamp people. That's a different show. I think Swamp People. Our producer said he thought it was Swamp People. I think Swamp People is isn't that the one with the alligators?
Yeah, I think that's alligators. Yeah, that was a fun show. I like that one. But,
yeah. So
the snapping turtle. I'd be interested in seeing you play that one out. You're gonna catch one of them. Huh?
We see them all the time. I don't think I'll do that. I think I'll either gig them. Or I'll you know pop them with the 22 and then pull them out and then skin them and eat them. I don't think I'm gutsy enough yet to dive in and grab the damn thing by the tail.
Yeah, you got to do the call. You got to do the call too at the same time.
Then I'll have to videotape it. You know that'll be really funny as I do the Bubba thing. And but I can't do his. I got to come up with my own. It'll probably be help. No.
Okay.
That's the call of the Bubba. Call of the Bubba.
Help.
All right.
Call of the Bubba. I love it.
All right. So we're going to have I'm going to stay on for a few seconds. It looks like we have Jared here. So why don't we go ahead and bring Jared on so I can say a quick hello, and then we'll I'll jump off and let you guys go ahead and do your – oh, nope.
Is he here? Is he here? Oh, he shouldn't be here yet. No.
Oh. I'm sorry. I thought that was you asking if he was here.
Yeah, I was asking.
See, again, we haven't done this in 2 weeks. and just all in disarray. We usually have our little chat windows up and everything else that we can kind of go through this, and I haven't even been able to do anything. So, all right, I'm going to give one more update. I think people have known from Facebook, but, you know, we talked about me building my chicken coop and doing all this stuff, my chicken tractor, and we've kind of done everything.
Oh, yeah.
So,
oh, yeah.
I mean, we haven't talked about it on air. I went to the show. We went to the Self-Reliance Expo, and we were gone for 5 days. And I was on my drive back, and my wife and I were going. I looked at my wife, and I said, you know, I can't wait to get home. All I want to do is get home, hug my daughters, and feed my chickens. Yeah, because yeah, I believe people – and Frank laughed, and he gets it now, I think. You know, there's something serene about getting up in the morning, getting your coffee, whatever it is, the sun's just coming up, and just going over and doing mundane work. It's great to think, you know, whether it's chopping wood, feeding the chickens, collecting the eggs. I mean, it's not real. I mean, I don't personally find it like real work, taking care of the cattle. It's for me, it's really just kind of a chance to be away from electronics and everything else and think. So I all of a sudden she looks at me with this real sad face and she goes, I have something to tell you. And I said, what? And she goes, all our chickens are dead. And
what?
I'm like, and she said, the fox, I had posted a couple times that we had seen some fox out here and they killed a couple cats and done things. Apparently the fox got into the chicken coop and broad daylight, the neighbor saw him going over there and killing the chickens and pulling them off one at a time. They killed all the chickens. So we have been trying to stock these chickens. I mean, not chickens. So stock these fox. And fox are really smart. I think we're at the point now, which we have some baby chicks, that I'm going to take a live trap that has a partition in it and put a baby chick out inside the partition where the bait would go and try to catch these fox.
Yeah, you can do that. Man, I wish I'd have known that. I'd come out there and I just got rid of some foxes last week for somebody, or a couple weeks ago here in Colorado. But you can do that where you can use a live chick in the back and then put a partition in there so it can't do it. Just make sure to cover the bottom of the trap with the surroundings. Because if the fox will start getting uncomfortable if it sees just the metal grate on the bottom. So if you cover it with grass or anything like that, it'll whatever the surroundings are. So if it's if you're sitting it on dirt, you know, grab a shovel and throw some dirt into the trap so that it doesn't feel like there's an obvious change.
Right. Well, and that's why I wanted to throw it out there while I was on there because it's amazing. You know, we know that there's multiple. Apparently, we have two dens around here. And you know, a couple people were popping on Facebook that live around here, and they know how my property's set up. And they said, yeah, you probably have one, you know, on your property. But I know I have one. There's at least one down the road across the railroad tracks. And we're seeing not only the probably the parents, but we're starting to see the smaller ones around here. And we have so many rabbits and everything else that it's easy for them to get to. And I think what happened with the chickens was, you know, they weren't getting around here. We were seeing them on the property killing the cats, but not coming over by the chickens because we're over there working in that yard and our dogs are over there every day. And when we were gone that week for the show, the dogs were with us. And so there was 7 days, a couple days driving, and then the 5 days we were there, 4.5 days, 5 days we were there, that there was basically nothing happening on the property. You know, there was no dogs walking around. You know,
right.
Our in-laws were going out in the morning, letting them out, and they were free range, and letting them out and then coming out back at 5 o'clock at night and putting them back in to roost. And
wow.
You know, our neighbor said, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning, they came over there and just started snapping up chickens. So we got to rebrood everything. We got all the little ones, and we got to start all over again. So, but it was a good lesson for the girls, you know, for their, you know, coming from a suburban area out to rural life that basically everything's part of the food chain.
yeah, that's true. So, absolutely.
Yeah, they kind of, we said, you know, all chickens got eaten, and they were like, oh, and the first they were upset for a little bit, and then they said, well, yeah, that's life, right? And they said, yeah, that's right. That's what you have to do. So that was a good attitude for the girls to have. I'm glad that we were able to do it. All right. Looks like Jared is really here. Let's go ahead and take a commercial break, and then I'm going to let you go ahead and bring him back in and let you guys get going. How's that sound?
Okay. Sounds good, bud. You guys take care.
All right, so we'll talk to you guys later, and when we come back from commercial break, we have Colorado Ron that will be on live with Jared Winger. So we'll talk to you soon.
You're listening to the Preparedness Radio Network. We'll be back after a word from our sponsor.
Want to reduce your dependence on the electrical grid? Trying to save money on groceries? Preparing for a major power outage? We can help. Layman's is your source for everything you need for heat, food, light, and water when there is no power. Glenda Lehman Irvin here for Layman's in Kidron, Ohio. My father, Jay Lehman, founded our store in 1955 to serve the local Amish with non-electric appliances, tools, and houseware items. Today, through our website, laymans.com, a print catalog, and a retail store, we provide oil lamps, water pumps, wood stoves, canning supplies, and hand tools to customers all over the world. If you think it isn't made anymore, check with Lehman's before you give up. Visit laymans.com or call us at 1-877-438-5346 for a free catalog, or just stop by. We're located about an hour south of Cleveland.
Yeah?
Do you want to see me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
Johnson, I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going or what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. Well, I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
And what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can get us a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you, it rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson, and it keeps for up to 30 years.
Will we be gone that long, sir?
Well, I hope not. Now, get your supplies organized and meet me down to the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the Freeze Dry Guy. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com. Thanks for listening to a word from our sponsors. Now, back to the show on the Preparedness Radio Network.
Hello, and welcome back to Backwoods Home, Self-Reliance Exposed. I'm your host, Colorado Ron, and Bubba DaVinci has left us for the second half of the show to take Frank, our first guest, to the airport. I wish them safe travels. Today on the second half of the show, we have Jared Winger with doTERRA coming on. And Jared, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. Hey, how you doing, Jared?
I'm doing great, Ron. How are you?
Doing pretty good. Now, you know, I just want to give a little bit of background, at least from my personal experience, because a lot of us men think essential oils are for girls, okay? And when I first got introduced to this was actually at one of the Self-Reliance Expos in Utah. And when I was running back and forth, and I was looking pretty exhausted, I guess, because Jared came up and said, "Hey, rub some of this on the back of your neck." I was like, "Whatever." So, but anyway, you know, I said, "Well, let me go ahead and do it," you know. And so I went ahead and put something on the back of my neck, and I start running around. And about, I don't know, 5-10 minutes later, I noticed that, hey, everything was fine. It seemed like I had a little bit more energy, and I thought, huh, that's interesting. And every time I walked by your booth, there was a funny smell that came out of there. And so it was constantly smelling these different smells that were coming out of your booth. And I was like, what in the world? And there was always a crowd of people around. And so I was like, what the heck is up with this essential oil stuff? So I actually went over and I told my wife while she was there, I said, run over to that booth and see what's going on with that oil stuff, because it's kind of interesting. And And then that's when we started learning more and more about the essential oils. So, you know, and then since then we've learned a ton more, you know, and how they can help us, you know, in the self-reliance industry or in this lifestyle. So, Jared, can you give us a little bit of background on you and how you got involved with essential oils? And let's start with that.
You bet. You bet. Well, basically, you know, I had no intention of starting with essential oils. I was really into health and also really into preparedness, like you guys. And I came across these oils, and, you know, I was very skeptical, to say the least. And, you know, I actually sat down with the executives or the owners of the company and kind of drilled them. And, you know, they discovered I didn't know much about the oils. So they're like, hey, you know what you need to do is just try the oils. We can go through the science all day, but you need to try the oils. And so reluctantly, I'm like, okay, I can do that. And what happened after that is what led me to, you know, start representing doTERRA. And I had some amazing, just unbelievable experiences with my children, with other family members, with chronic issues that they've been suffering through for years and years and years. You know, a lot of minor things that, you know, to other people maybe appear minor, but to us it was a big deal. And then I'm like, well, I don't understand how this is working. You know, so I delve into the science and what I discovered and what I teach in our classes is the fact that almost all of mainstream medicine, so pharmaceuticals, you know, over-the-counter medications, prescriptions, antibiotics, they're almost all of them are derived from plant medicine. And so once I figured that out and discovered all the properties that these essential oils contain, it just made sense. You put two and two together, this is real medicine without the side effects. So that's kind of how I got into it, you know, just experimentation. In doTERRA, we have a name for that. We don't try to sell people. We call it experiential marketing. Because we know that because of the properties, it's all science-based. That's what I love about the oils. And you let people try them out, and they have an experience, just like the person before them, because of the science. And
that's funny that you say that, because after that expo, you sent me, I think it's called a family physician kit or something like that.
Right, right.
And honestly, I had to be honest, I'll tell everybody right now, sorry, Jared, but it sat there next to next to the bed in the bedroom for a long time. I can't remember. I can't remember how long but it just sat there. And my wife was going to take. It was one of our kids had to go to the hospital. I believe it was for ear infection. And so I ran upstairs to grab my wallet, which was next to the bed, which was also next to the doTERRA box. You know, sitting there, and I thought, I think he said there was something about that in here. And you also sent me a book. I can't remember what's the name of that book that you sent me.
The Modern Essentials book.
Modern Essentials Oil. So I flipped in there, looked at ear infection, and I called my wife up and I said, "Look, let's try this, and if it doesn't work, we'll take him tomorrow to the hospital." And so we did. We tried it, and
it was probably basil and melaleuca.
Yes, it was.
In the book. Yep.
And so we put that on, applied it. He went to sleep. Next morning, it was completely gone. He had no problems. So that saved us a trip to the emergency room. That was our first experience, and that's what you're talking about, this experiential marketing. And so that's exactly what happened to us.
Yeah, you don't need to believe a word I'm saying. You know, we try to educate and let people know the science behind it and, you know, what oils work for what ailment or symptom or situation. But they'll discover it on their own once they try that, like you guys did for the earache, you know, and that was probably just one of many, many experiences you've probably had since then, I assume, like everybody else. And that's exactly how I got involved.
Yeah, we've had hundreds of experiences since, you know, I think we stopped calculating, you know, with six kids, we're always having something going on. And so, you know, I think after 6 months, my wife calculated it, and we saved six emergency room trips to the hospital in six months.
Wow.
So
that's awesome.
Totally worth it, you know. Totally worth it. It was totally, and we're still using them. I you know, I have really bad allergies, and this is one thing I wanted to touch on, and this was something that it takes some personal practice with, is not everybody's built the same, and what works for me might not necessarily work for you. But I mean, in general, it does. But there's certain, you know, sometimes there's a combination. Like for instance, allergies. I think the combination is melaleuca and eucalyptus and something else. And you apply those. Well, I started applying those, and my allergies went away. And I, you know, I used to have these sneezing sessions where I'd do 20 to 50 sneeze, you know, just boom, 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 right after another, And so I started applying them, and all of it went away. Well, then, for some reason, I can't remember, we didn't have one of the ingredients, and so I just started using two, and it was still gone. And then I said, well, heck. And then so I started using just one. I believe it's eucalyptus. And so now if I start getting the sneezes and I feel the allergies coming on, I just rub a little eucalyptus on the bottom of my nose, and it's gone. I quit sneezing, and it's you know, I rub a little bit on my chest, and I have no more allergy issues. So everybody's
a little
bit different.
And once you discover that, Ron, I mean, that's exactly why we do what we do, because you got people that, if they could, you know, they would have got rid of their allergies 15 years ago. But because they don't really know where to look or what to rely on, and they're not really familiar with essential oils, that's where we come in. And we have people that had allergies for 20, 25 years, have not been able to control them. But as long as we're on allergies, I'll give you the number one allergy blend, and maybe you're already aware of this. And yes, you're right, people get allergies for various reasons, and not every single person is the same. And what's great about the oils is that they do have a lot of crossover properties, they share a lot of similar properties. And so if one oil, let's say you're out of it, well, there's probably another oil with similar properties that will do the same thing as you've experienced. But the number one allergy blend that we teach in all of our classes is lemon, lavender, and peppermint.
Lemon, lavender, and peppermint.
Uh-huh, and doesn't matter really what kind of allergies you have. That blend has worked for probably about 95% of the people that have tried it. And
do you put that in a pill, or do you guys rub it all in, or what do you do?
We recommend putting in a pill. Just because it's simple. So you get one of those empty gelatin capsules from the health food store. You know, you can buy them in bulk for, you know, 500 of them for, you know, $5-6. But you just put, you know, about 3 to 4 drops of lemon, lavender, peppermint, seal it off in the empty gel capsule, swallow it, and you're good to go. Do that once a morning for just a few days, and your allergies, you'll know, watch them dissipate, just completely disappear. And we have people calling us every week saying, you're not going to believe this. And, you know, we've heard everything now. So, of course, it's still exciting, but then nothing surprises us anymore. And we've been able to help a lot of people that have had these issues for, you know, 12, 15, 20 years.
So I bet if I chopped my arm off and called you and said, hey, you'll never guess if this stuff grew my arm back, you that would be a new one, right?
You know, that might be a tough one. I don't know if there's anything that will regrow your arm. That's what doctors are for, is for things like that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, and speaking of doctors, you know, I'm a, you know, obviously I'm into self-reliance, so I try to avoid the doctors at all costs. You know, Dr. Bones and Nurse Amy, they also have a popular show on here. I usually call them if something is really bad. It's kind of handy to know them. They're great people, they often recommend essential oils as well, and I found it fascinating. In their book, they have a whole chapter just on essential oils. And you know, as far as a preparedness standpoint, we have been building up our stock, and you know, we've got a whole shelf in our food storage section that's just dedicated just to oils.
Yeah, so, and that's an important aspect, especially with the subject we're dealing with preparedness and self-reliance. You know, some things that your listeners might be really interested in is the fact, and I think what also interested you, besides the fact that you know, these oils you don't need a prescription for, right? And yet they have the same properties that any prescription or antibiotic would have. And the fact that there's no shelf life, I'm sure you love that. You know, so no expiration date. So when you need them, Ron, they'll actually be there. Whereas, you know, a lot of normal medicine or mainstream medicine, you know, they have expirations. And, you know, in the case of some epidemic or pandemic or virus or any emergency situation, which we never, ever hope happens, but if it did, I mean, your whole philosophy, be prepared. And with the oils, you know, they're they never expire, and you don't need a prescription for them. You know, they're portable, they're light. You know, you can take them with you on the go really, really easily. And, you know, they're very concentrated. And for those that aren't aware of just how because a lot of people hear essential oils and they think herbs, well, that's what they're from. They're from plants. But, you know, herbs are powerful, Ron, but, you know, they don't even hold a candle to essential oils because, and trust me, I have people and friends that heal exclusively with herbs because how powerful herbs are. But the oils are about 70 times, not 70%, 70 times, so about 7,000%, you know, more potent, you know, more powerful than herbs,
Because
they're so concentrated. It takes a lot of plants to produce just a little bit of oil. You know, you talked about the peppermint, Ron, at the Self-Reliance Expo that you first experienced that we put on the back of your neck. You know, it takes 1 ton or 2,000 pounds of peppermint leaf, not even the entire plant, just the leaf, to produce about 12 ounces of essential oil.
You know, that's really fascinating. You know, I knew that it took a lot of plants. And one of the things that – I'm sorry, we're jumping around all over the place on this oil stuff because there's just so much information out there. But the one of the things that kind of surprised me, you know, we'll go back to talking about the shelf life and stuff, is that when I started looking at the active ingredients in a lot of, like, prescription drugs and stuff, it all started, you know, the most active ingredients or, you know, where it's all started is, you know, basically from, the plant itself. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. That's right. And for people that know, and oftentimes on, you know, the active ingredient list, you know, on the medications from the store or from the doctor, if you know the scientific name for it, then, you know, you can see for yourself, oh, wow, this is plant medicine, you know, at least the active ingredients. And once people start kind of delving into that, they realize that the plant medicine is a better option because, you know, with anything synthetic, which all Western medicine, you know, it has to be synthetic because, as you understand, Ron, they can't patent anything that's naturally occurring in nature, okay? So you can't patent, you know, a peppermint leaf. You can't patent a birch tree. You know, or an orange. You can't do that. And so they have to isolate the properties that are, you know, the effective properties. So if something's anti-inflammatory, they have to isolate that property and create it synthetically in the lab so they can put a patent on it. But anything synthetic is going to have negative side effects, as many people have experienced and they're catching on to. You know, look at their medications and people wonder why, okay, I have, you know, high blood pressure, but why am I taking, you know, 7 medications? Well, 80-85% of the other medications are usually to combat or cross-cancel out the side effects of medications before that. And so it's a kind of a cycle that people get into. And with the oils, you don't get that because, you know, they're natural. And our bodies know what to do with natural things.
Well, and that's another beautiful part of it. You know, there's no such thing as an overdose anything like that with the essential oils, right? Am I right on that?
No, you're not going to OD on them, and some other things that are really important to people, especially nowadays age when people are becoming addicted to so many different prescription medications. You cannot become addicted to the oils. You also, you know, cannot, and your listeners will understand this fully, you know, with antibiotics, it's becoming very rampant where so many, you know, millions of people are becoming completely immune or resistant to antibiotics because they're very simple and they're created synthetically. and they have anywhere between, you know, 2 to 5 ingredients that make up an antibiotic. So it's very simple in structure, and your body can adapt to that very quickly. Case in point, my own mom, my mother, is completely 100% resistant to antibiotics. They do not and cannot work for her. And that just comes with the overuse, of antibiotics through her life. And it's happening a lot sooner, you know, people in their teens, you know, early 20s now, because they've been using antibiotics as such, you know, from 2 years, sometimes even before that, on. You know, at the first thing, you know, first sign of a cold or sniffles, they prescribe you antibiotics, even if it's not necessary, because as we've taught you, and some listeners may know this too, but, you know, with anything that is viral-based, so a lot of illnesses are bacterial, you know, based, which antibiotics can work for. But if you go to your doctors, Ron, and they say, well, you have, you know, this virus-based illness, or these symptoms are virus-based, they will not, well, not necessarily they will not, they normally will not prescribe an antibiotic, because antibiotics only can work for something bacterial-based, not viral. You know, sometimes they prescribe just because, and a lot of it is because of the pressure of the parents. Well, can't you just try and see if it works? There's a 0% chance that an antibiotic will work for anything viral-based, and that's what parents need to know, because you're just building up the resistance of your child to the antibiotics if you use it when you don't need to. With the oils, though, what I love about the oils is they work for bacterial, they work for viral-based, they work for anything. They're antifungal, they're antiparasitic. There's so many properties that the oils contain, and it is, you know, contrasting it to antibiotics, which I said are very simple in structure, you know, 3, 4, 5 ingredients. Well, the oils are complex, and they contain anywhere, Ron, between 50 upwards of 500 different constituents or compounds for one oil. And on top of that, they're not created synthetically. They're grown in harvest, and, you know, no two harvests are the same. They can vary in the amount of those constituents, and so it is quite literally impossible for your body to become resistant to the essential oils. Pretty cool.
That is very cool. You know, and it took us a test of faith, I'll tell you. You know, my little 3-year-old had a bladder infection. And it was a real test of faith not to take her to the hospital, let me tell you. You know, it was my baby girl, and I was like, you know, whatever it takes, you know. And my wife said, no, let's try the oils and use the oils, and, you know, after 2 days, if it doesn't work, and then we'll take her in. And I'm like, 2 days? And, you know, I was all nervous, and you know, she's sitting there crying about it. And so we put the essential oils on. We applied them on her stomach. I tell you what, I wasn't expecting it to cure her bladder infection that fast, but it did. And that was pretty amazing.
Yeah, we have, for you name, and this is kind of the running joke in doTERRA, you know, if someone says something, we go, oh, we got an oil for that. Because we do. There's so many properties. You know, we're used to being marketed in the last 50, 60, 70 years. You know, we've been marketed to is it's a pill for every ill, one drug, one symptom. So if you have a specific symptom or ailment, well, you're getting this specific drug. Well, if you have a different symptom, guess what? You're getting another drug. And so that's where the vicious cycle kind of starts to take effect. Whereas the oils, you could have one oil that, because of how many properties it has, can work for, a myriad of different symptoms and ailments.
Right, kind of cool. Right. And it's amazing just to think of, you know, and let's break it down to the simplest form here. You know, my allergies, for instance, I was looking at, obviously I had to go to the hospital because it's a prescription-based, but I needed Flonase. I usually work with Claritin D, Flonase, and then eye drops, like, what do you call those? Anyway, some sort of eye drop to get the redness out and keep them from itching. They had some sort of allergy medicine in the eye drop. And so I'd use the eye drop, I'd use Flonase, and I'd use Claritin D. That was my routine 2-3 times a day to get through the allergy season. And even at that, it still wasn't working sometimes. I'd still have to lay on the couch with a cold rag over my eyes and go to sleep, you know, and take a nap. And that was that, literally was the allergy season for me, and it was so bad. Luckily, I'm self-employed, so you know I'd take the afternoon off and just lay on the couch sometimes. it gets so bad, but I don't have that excuse anymore.
Well, speaking of allergies, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners, either themselves or many family members, children, suffer through allergies. And of course, they're up and down throughout the year, depending on obviously the seasons and where they are. But I have a couple just recent allergy stories that I think your listeners would get a kick out of. And I did a class just a couple weeks ago down in Cortez, Colorado. And one of the women that was coming to the class, I guess she had called her son, who had invited her, and she was driving over from New Mexico. And her allergies were so bad, she could hardly even see. And she was just miserable. And she called her son. She's like, I think I'm going to be really late. I got to stop at the store and get something. And he's like, no, you know what? I think they have something for that. Just come. And Jerry will take care of you, And she got to the class. And, oh, man, her eye. And this woman was probably about 65. But her eyes were so red and puffy. And watery, and I could tell they were just very irritated. And we did the lemon, lavender, pepper. We didn't have the anti-gel capsule, so we just put it in a glass of water, and she just drank it down. And within about 5 minutes is all it took, and her eyes had cleared up. The redness was gone. She was 9-day difference, and she says, okay, what is this stuff? I want to know more. And we had a guy just recently that is actually a little bit longer ago than 2 weeks ago, but here in Utah, that had actually put their house up for sale. They're originally from Portland, and they've been living here in Utah for a number of years, and put their house up for sale, not because they wanted to move, but because his allergies were so bad that they had to get out of the state. And he couldn't sleep. He had to sleep with a CPAP on, And so when he came to my class, I can tell, all the questions that he posed were all related to breathing and allergies. And I said, you must have allergies pretty bad. He's like, oh, man, it controls my life. And I said, this is what you do. And we gave him the lemon, lavender, peppermint. And his wife called me about 4 days later. She says, his allergy symptoms are gone. And she's like, not just like, where they're better, they're gone. And they called me a little while later, and he says, we took our house off the market. We're not moving. This is awesome. So two just nice. Recent stories. We got allergy stories from every class that we teach.
We were joking earlier, Bubba Da Vinci, my co-host there. He was this is before you came on, but he got hooked on oils at the last expo, and so we sent him Serenity. He has a problem sleeping because he's working in so many different time zones because he works with Asia and all these different markets, so he has a real tough time getting to sleep, and so we sent him Serenity, and I think they put it in a what do you call it, that machine, the diffuser. They put it in the diffuser, and he said he's just been out like a light. So is Serenity the best one for sleeping? It's like lavender, basically, isn't it?
Blend. So for your listeners, we have single oils, and those are all the ones that you would have heard of in the past. So like an oregano or peppermint or lemon, Melaleuca, things like that. And then there's blends that are formulated for very specific purposes. And in this case, Serenity is a lavender base. You're exactly right, Ron. And lavender is the most calming, relaxing oil. That's why it's in a lot of baby products. It's in a lot of bath products because it is so calming. And so people with insomnia or people that are jumping from time zone to time zone and can't get their bodies right have a hard time sleeping. Yeah, start with lavender or something like Serenity because of the lavender. And do that instead of the Lunesta and the Ambien and all those prescriptions that you quite frankly, you don't want to be taking long term because they have negative side effects. And case in point, I had no idea, but my stepmother, she was having a hard time sleeping. This is about 2 years ago, and she had, I believe it was Ambien, and she was rushed to the emergency room one night because she was having heart attack symptoms. And she's pretty young and healthy, And one of the first things that the doctor asked her, he's like, are you taking this or this or this? And one of the first things was Ambien. She said, yes. And he's like, I'm almost positive that's what it was. You know, these things that are created synthetically, they have those negative side effects. And so many people, because I'm not arguing, I mean, that you need to sleep. You absolutely need to get your sleep. And so people are desperate. They're going to try anything. We're just saying there's a better way. So get educated, because you're not going to have the side effects. And it's a heck of a lot cheaper to use lavender than getting a prescription.
That's awesome. Now, we're getting here to the top of the hour, so we're going to have to wrap it up here shortly. But one of the questions I do have for you is, you know, obviously you do these classes all over the place, including our expo, and, at the Self-Reliance Expo. But what is one of the shocking stories, I guess? I'm sure nothing shocks you anymore, but you know, for the average listener, I mean, what is something that you're just like, you know, people would go, wow, that really, I mean, it helped them with that, really? What is something like that?
Yeah, so I got a lot of those stories. And just for your listeners, know that they, you know, these oils, it's not just a major thing. And you mentioned, Ron, that this is saved to 6 trips to the emergency room. You know, that is fantastic. But I'm sure you guys use them on a daily, weekly basis just for preventative as well as treating minor things. You know, my kids at school, their teachers are amazed, and they come to us and they say, how come your kids never miss any school? Everybody else gets sick and misses some. Your kids are never sick, you know, and I don't usually go into a big, long, you know, spiel about oils. But, you know, they're for the little things, too. And my kids, you know, they don't even ask me anymore. They just come in. If they scrape their knee, you know, if they're congested at all, if they get a bee sting, anything, you name it, they come in. They know exactly which oils to use. And if they're not quite sure, sometimes they'll ask me, or they'll open up that Modern Essentials book. But some, if you want to hear some pretty cool things that have happened recently, your listeners are probably somewhat familiar with MRSA, which is a superbug.
Oh yeah, uh-huh.
And another bug that your body becomes resistant to. Okay, or the more, I guess, it's more the it becomes resistant to the antibiotics. What MRSA stands for is methicillin-resistant staphylococcus aureus. So it starts as a staph infection, but the catch-22 is, you know, most people, not all, most people catch it in like a hospital-type environment, which then, of course, they expect the hospital to take care of it with their antibiotics. Well, the catch-22 is it's resistant to antibiotics. And so there's about 20,000 to 40,000 people just in the U.S. alone, not even counting worldwide, that die from MRSA every year. And it doesn't have to be that way. And so just some recent examples is we had, it was actually a friend of my wife's that was on a message board that my wife belongs to online, and was reaching out to anybody. She didn't know what we did. She didn't know I taught classes about essential oils. But her dad was in a hospital up in Idaho, and he was actually there. He's been there for 6 weeks, which means 6 rounds of antibiotics, because you're usually on one round for a week at a time. And so he was just flying through all the antibiotics, and the MRSA was completely resistant to it. And to save his life, they were about to amputate his legs.
Whoa. Okay?
And she was reaching out desperate. Does anybody know anything about MRSA? I don't know anything about it, but they're going to amputate my father's legs. And so my wife's like, hey, you need to call my friend. And I called her, and I got her and her mother on the line. And I said, yes, there's something that can help right away. That's that, you know, the MRSA can't become resistant to. And so what we told her to get, and we actually found a rep there in Idaho Falls, I think it was, and or Boise, I can't remember, and it was Melaleuca, oregano, which is one of the most powerful antibiotics in the world.
I was going to say oregano has to be on there. That stuff kills anything, I swear. But go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, no, and what a lot of people don't realize is that, you know, there's two very powerful antibiotic compounds in oregano that almost all antibiotics are derived from. You know, but they're created synthetically, and then, of course, there's not the other, you know, 400 compounds in there, and your body can become resistant to the synthetic stuff. Oregano, man, a very powerful antibiotic, but it's all natural. You know, you can't become addicted. You can't build up resistance. You can't, you know, everything we talked about earlier, you know, no side effects. And so we did oregano, Melaleuca, and we actually gave them cypress as well, because cypress is a great oil to increase blood circulation and blood flow, and a lot of MRSA patients have bad blood circulation. And so those three oils, and this is a guy that's been on antibiotics for 6 weeks. They're about to, you know, amputate his legs, and within about 7 days, he was out of the hospital, free of MRSA. Legs attached.
Wow.
So,
legs attached.
You know, we have things like that all the time.
Huge plus there. Legs attached.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. All right. So if people want more information, how do they find you?
Well, there's a couple that websites they should write down. We do a free, and we could charge for this. You know, we have enough interest where people are willing to pay, but we want to educate the masses. And so we do a weekly online webinar, free of charge, every single week. It's every Thursday at 7 p.m. Mountain Time. So that's 9 p.m. Eastern Time, okay, or 6 p.m. Pacific Time. And you can go to doterrawebinar.com, and doTERRA is spelled D-O-T-E-R-R-A, so it's two R's in there, and then webinar, W-E-B-I-N-A-R.com, and you can register there for free. And you'll get a reminder of the class, you know, the day before, and then I believe like an hour before. And you can just listen online as we go through, you know, the most common uses for specific oils. We give a background and, you know, just very practical, especially from a preparedness standpoint. You guys will love it. And then in terms of getting immediate information, your listeners can go to www.try.try. doTERRA, so doTERRA.com, trydoTERRA.com, and there's a lot more information, you can request a free sample there, and we'll get that mailed out to you. But there's just so many different possibilities and uses for these oils, and the fact that you'll always have, there's no money wasted, you know, they don't expire like we talked about, and the benefits are limitless.
Perfect. Well, hey, I really appreciate Jared coming on and helping us out with educating our listeners here. If you guys are interested, you know, what's nice about the oils, and just touch base on this again, is, you know, there's no prescription needed. There's no shelf life on them. It's all natural, and you can't build up a resistance. Those are really the down and dirty.
And they are extremely potent.
Yes. I can vouch for that one, because I tried oregano directly to the mouth. Woo!
Yeah, don't be like Ron.
don't be like Ron. Absolutely.
I know Ron's a tough guy, but yeah, tell your listeners how that was quite a shock.
Yeah, that was rough. Don't do it. You'd be crying like a baby. So anyway, well, hey, Jared, again, I appreciate you coming on, and hopefully we can get some more people sent your way and get them introduced to essential oils.
Absolutely. Ron, thanks for having us. Really appreciate it.
Not a problem. Thank you, bud. Take care.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
All right, guys. Well, that about wraps up another show here with Backwoods Homes, Self-Reliance Exposed. Again, we are brought to you this hour by Inner Health Botanicals. Great products. Speaking of all natural products, they do a lot of all natural products there, and they have a coupon for us. If you guys go to their, they have a drink that they call it. It's called Interfood. Oh, let me tell you, if you have any questions that your food storage might not have enough vitamins for you, might not be have enough nutrition for you when it comes time to use your food storage, get some of the Interfood. The Interfood will bridge any of those gaps. It's got so many vitamins. It's a great product. We use it all the time. We use it at the expo to keep us going throughout the day. So you can go to Interfood and use the coupon code REDSHED for Redshed Media Group. Use REDSHED, and they will get you taken care of on that. So, again, I appreciate it. Thanks for having Frank on and helping us expand to the Asia market. And grateful to have Jared on and talking about essential oils again. Very knowledgeable, and he's always at the Self Reliance Expo, educating as many people as he can on the benefits of essential oils. So without, I think that's about it. I think we're wrapping it up. So we'll talk with you guys next week. Take care.
You've been listening to BHM Radio, the official show for Backwoods Home Magazine on the Preparedness Radio Network. Tune in every other week at this time to get more information on the articles you love. Questions or comments for the hosts? Email them at coloradoron@gmail.com. Until next time, remember, preparedness saves lives.
It's the 21st century, a dangerous world. Preppers need food and medicine. Why not have the best? Enterfood.com does the shopping, prep, and packaging for you using the best organic ingredients on the planet. Right now, specials are available for listeners of this station. The all-organic vegetarian food storage pail and the herbal medicine cabinet. The pail holds up to 120 flavorful meals, super packed fresh to last up to 15 years, soaked, cooked, or raw. The herbal medicine cabinet holds everything you'll need to cure common ailments. Use these items in an emergency or use them when camping. You can't beat these prices. Call to order now, 866-762-9238, 866-762-9238, or go to enerfood.com. That's E-N-E-R-F-O-O-D.com, enerfood.com.
Want to reduce your dependence on the electrical grid? Trying to save money on groceries? Preparing for a major power outage? We can help. Layman's is your source for everything you need for heat, food, light, and water when there is no power. Glenda Lehman Irvin here for Layman's in Kidron, Ohio. My father, Jay Lehman, founded our store in 1955 to serve the local Amish with non-electric appliances, tools, and houseware items. Today, through our website, laymans.com, a print catalog, and a retail store, we provide oil lamps, water pumps, wood stoves, canning supplies, and hand tools to customers all over the world. If you think it isn't made anymore, check with Layman's before you give up. Visit laymans.com or call us at 1-877-438-5346 for a free catalog, or just stop by. We're located about an hour south of Cleveland.
You've been listening to the Preparedness Radio Network, offering helpful and timely tips on preparing for natural and man-made disasters, timely and useful tips on gardening and homesteading. Check us out online at BePreparedRadio.com. Until next time, remember, preparedness saves lives. This is the Preparedness Radio Network.